If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 13th chapter and verses 24. That's Luke 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able.
Good evening. Appreciate your presence here this evening. If you're visiting with us, I join with Cliff in welcoming you and inviting you to come back at each and every opportunity that you have to worship with us. Am I striving for the crown? That's the question I'd like for us to consider for the next few minutes this evening. In our scripture reading, Jesus said, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." This statement by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was in response to a question posed by someone in the crowd. The question was, are there few that will be saved? In other words, is everyone going to go to heaven one day? It was the prevalent opinion among the Jews that few would enter heaven, as but two, Joshua and Caleb, of all the hosts that came out of Egypt, entered into the land of Canaan. So some of them maintained that a proportionately small number would enter into heaven. If in fact it were true that one day all will be in heaven, then we might ask ourselves, why are we here tonight? What difference does it make? If we are all one day going to receive that crown of righteousness of which the Apostle Paul spoke, then it really doesn't make any difference how we live our lives. We can simply do as we please, do whatever feels good. And that would be all well and good, but that isn't the case. That was not the response that Jesus gave when he was asked the question, are there few that will be saved? Jesus said there will be many who will be unable to enter in. For us to enter into the kingdom of heaven requires that we strive to do so. That word strive is literally to agonize. The word is taken from the Grecian games. In the ancient games or contest, in their races or various other athletic events, those who competed for the crown strove. They agonized. They literally pushed their bodies to the limit, putting forth all their powers to gain the victory. That, friends, is what is required of us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus repeated his warning of Luke 13, 24, when he said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7, 13, and 14. That life that results in following the narrow way is, of course, eternal life. That destruction that follows a life along the broad way of eternal punishment, or is eternal punishment, or hell. Friends, we are on one of the two pathways in this life upon earth. We are either striving along that narrow way that leads to eternal life and a home in heaven, or we are following along the path, the broad path, that leads to eternal punishment in hell. Sadly, too few in the world today have chosen and are choosing that narrow way. To the Ephesian brethren, the Apostle Paul said, as bondservants of Christ, that they were to do the will of God from the heart, Ephesians 6, verse 6. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven," Matthew 7, 21. The context within which these words were spoken by Jesus were in warning of false prophets, which Jesus said, come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. These false prophets were not doing the will of God. We can certainly make application, I believe, by asking ourselves today, am I striving to do my Father's will? A logical question is just what all goes into that striving. And that could be different for each of us. The Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 10 and beginning with verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We can see the instruction to strive faithfully to attend all the services of the church. This is part of doing the will of our Father. Now, I don't strive or agonize to come to services. It's not a challenge for me. It is in no way physically difficult to simply hop in the car and come to church. But how about someone who, let's say, has vision impairment? How much more difficult is it for them? How much more of a challenge? Or how about someone who drives themselves and brings someone with them who is confined to a wheelchair? My point is that what may be a walk in the park or effortless for some may be a real struggle for someone else. They may really have to strive to be faithful in attending all the services of the saints. You know, there are numerous ways in which I personally may exhort another or seek to edify someone who is having difficulties. I can visit with them, perhaps read some scripture, offer a prayer with them. But how about someone who, let's say, is confined to their own home or maybe a bed in a nursing home? How do they go about exhorting and encouraging others? Well, maybe they can make a phone call or send a card if they're physically able to do so. But you see the point? Striving may be different for each of us as we attempt to go about doing the will of our Father, which is in heaven. Regardless of how difficult our striving may be to follow that narrow path that leads to eternal life, our struggles, our agony, would most assuredly pale in comparison to that of the Apostle Paul. Paul said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Imagine that. Think about that for a moment. Being beaten like that, 195 lashes. Think of that. Thrice, Paul said, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 28. Yes, we may strive as commanded, but we must honestly say our striving pales in comparison to that of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul to the saints at Colossae and to us by inspiration urged us to strive to live the Christian life by putting on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:12-17. Within this passage are the wonderful attributes which, as Christians, we should strive to make a part of our daily life. They are the Christian characteristics that should serve to guide us as we walk along that narrow pathway that leads to eternal life. Unfortunately, of the too few who chose to walk that narrow pathway, many of them ultimately go astray. Many wander off that narrow pathway and soon find themselves lost and following the many that trot along the broad pathway that ultimately leads to destruction, leads to eternal punishment, leads to hell. We often wonder just what causes some who know the truth, often having learned it from their childhood, to go astray. Well, the answers to that question are almost as many as the number who go wayward. Needless to say, we lose some to higher education. That is to say, when some of our young people head off to college, they succumb to liberal professors who openly claim there is no God. To others, Satan makes sin appear more attractive than being a faithful Christian, especially where young people are concerned. Why not come and enjoy the pleasures that many of your peers are enjoying? Asks Satan. Look at the fun, the pleasures that can line that broad highway. You can engage in all the pleasures your body desires, immorality, drugs, vulgar language. It's all here along that super highway to hell. Faithful Christians, including our young faithful Christians, striving to enter in at the straight gate, need to remember the words and the warning from the Apostle Peter. He said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, often we start out with good intentions, but then Satan whispers in our ear and he leads us astray. He turns our heads. Have you ever been driving down the street or a highway and something on the seat beside you begins to fall and you immediately, without thinking, you reach over to grab that item? What happens? You pull the steering wheel, don't you? That's what happens. And sometimes it results in an accident. We've become distracted. This is what Satan is good at. Satan is good at distracting us. We don't start out to get distracted to the point of swerving off that path or roadway, but it happens nonetheless. One of the best examples of this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts, we read that in the early days of the church, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of those things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. A man by the name of Barnabas had land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It would appear that as this selling of possessions and turning over the proceeds from such sales was being done, Ananias and Sapphira decided that they would do likewise. At some point, however, either before the sale or after, they decided or conspired together that they would bring only a portion of the price of the possession they sold, which they would have been free to have done. The problem was that Ananias and Sapphira presented their money as the entire proceeds from the sale. Peter said to Ananias, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back a part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own?" In other words, Ananias, you weren't compelled or forced to sell that land. Peter went on to say to Ananias, "And even after you sold it, the price of the sale was still yours to do with as you chose. Why," asked Peter, "hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And the scriptures tell us next that Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died. The story goes on, and we learn that Sapphira, his wife, follows her husband, coming before Peter, and Peter pretty much says the same things to her, and she is struck dead like her husband. Sometimes, friends and brethren, we start out on that narrow pathway to eternal life, but begin to engage in sin, convincing ourselves that no one knows of our wrongdoing, but God knows. What Ananias and Sapphira discovered too late, and what we need to remember, is that we can't lie to God. God sees all we do. God hears all we say. God knows all we think before we even do or say or even think it. Friends, once we begin that journey down that narrow way to eternal life, don't lose sight of the goal. No matter what trials lie ahead along that roadway, stay the course, just as the Apostle Paul. In righteousness, the Lord will come some blessed day and take me home. To earth below, I'll say farewell, with him forevermore to dwell. As I pursue that narrow way, I look for that eternal day when Christ shall come, our King to be. Oh, what joy his face to see. Let me ask you this evening, have you begun that journey along that narrow way that leads to eternal life and one day a home in heaven? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, why not come tonight repenting of the past sins in your life, confess his name before this audience, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins? Arise a new child of God with all your sins forgiven, washed away, ready to begin a journey down that narrow path to that crown of righteousness. If you once obeyed the gospel but have been drawn back into the world of sin and darkness, we urge you to come back to the light. Come back tonight and be restored to the fold of safety. If you're subject to the song of encouragement, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?